It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
The pitch. Swinging his crack to the gap in left center field. It touches down for a base hit. Fraley hits third base. Julio's throw comes to third. De La Cruz is headed there. The tag by Rojas. And he's out at third base. What a peg by Julio. One of the fastest men in the game is out at third.
All right, welcome back. It's Mariners Pod. Thanks for being here as we have a fun one today. The Mariners coming off of their, well, clearly best series of the season, an excellent series, sweeping aside the Cincinnati Reds. Off day today for the Mariners. Back to action against Colorado this weekend, and then the Texas Rangers after that. So things get pretty interesting pretty fast, but there was a lot to love about the series against Cincinnati. We're going to talk a lot of pitching. We're going to talk a lot of Bryce Miller, which is super exciting. He was great yesterday. We're going to kind of peel back some of the layers on what has really been an exciting development for me. So we'll talk about that. A lot to like about the offense as well in the three-game series against Cincinnati. This is more along the lines of who they want to be, that's for sure. We saw in the three games against Cincinnati a lot more power, five home runs. The Mariners went their first couple of homestands with four home runs total as a group at home, and they had five in the series against Cincinnati, six doubles. We saw a lot more slug, which was great. We saw a ton of walks, 20 walks in the three-game series, which was great. So more on base, more power. And the Mariners put nine runs on the board in game one, three in game two, five in game three, but a lot of traffic along the way. They made the starters throw a ton of pitches, especially in the first two ball games. So just a ton to like in the first two. We saw Mitch Garver plant his first home run as a Mariner. Julio, a couple doubles, ringing doubles yesterday. So Polanco's been on a nice roll. He had a really good homestand. Mariners ended up with a 4-2 homestand as well. The Mariners now have won. Hey, you look up, they've won five of their past seven. So things feel like they're moving in the right direction for sure, and a chance to take advantage of a Colorado team that is really struggling. We'll get to that in just a second. The pitching, though, has been the name of the game. It's something we talked about in a recent episode where the rotation went in a struggle for about a turn and a half. And I think we talked about it at the time. At one point, they had the third highest starter ERA in baseball. And you knew that wouldn't last, and it certainly has not lasted. The last seven turns from the rotation have been excellent. There's been seven quality starts in a row from the Mariners rotation. And they've really set the tone. An ERA just a touch over 1.8, 44 innings of work. They have struck out 44 in that span, and they've walked six. How about that for a ratio? 44 Ks, six walks. They've set the tone in this stretch in the seven games, and the Mariners have won five of the past seven. So we've talked about it many times. The backbone of this team is in the rotation, and when they're rolling, Mariners are really tough to beat. In fact, Aaron and I talked about this as we watched it play out against Cincinnati. Just how devastating this aspect can be for opponents.
Gary, you made a point, man, it might have been in spring, it might have been the start of the year that I've remembered. It's the one thing you said that has really stuck with me. Imagine being another team and you time up this Mariners rotation and you get, I don't know, George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, and Bryce Miller during your stay in Seattle. That's what's happening to the Reds. We're so used to it. It's so tough as a hitter.
Yeah, I think about that on the other side all the time. And I wonder about the cumulative effect of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not – it's you're facing each guy, which individually is tough on each day. But if you're in the lineup all 3 days, that's really frustrating. Because the stuff – and then in between you see Munoz or something like that, right? And it's just
– and Stanek.
And Stanek. There's no relief, I think, from the hitter's perspective. And I feel like it's really easy during a three-game series if you're a hitter to get mired into just you're 0 for 8 or mm-hmm. you're 1 for 9 or whatever. And I think just from looking at this from the opposition's eyes, it's brutal. It's really hard, especially when they're all going well.
And in this particular case, like, it's been pretty cold.
Right.
It's been windy.
Yeah.
Ball hasn't carried great. And, you know, if you look back. Like,
it's a little different than in Cincinnati, for example.
Right. If you look back to the three pitchers that we've referenced that are pitching in this series, and you rewind the tape to, like, 2 years ago, you would say, all right, these are three really good pitchers, but I'm going to get a ton of fastballs. Mm. I'm going to get a lot of heaters, and I can time up the heater. Not anymore.
Nope.
Right? I mean, they've all changed so much year in and year out. And now I just find it to be so difficult to try to keep up with these pitchers in particular in terms of what they're going to throw because they just have so many options, so many weapons now.
Well, when we were talking to Jerry DePoto the other day, he said it really well. He was quoting a catcher of his at some point that said, hey, when you don't know what you're going to throw, they certainly don't know what you're going to throw because there are so many options now. And I think the story of the year so far for the Mariners, like how this plays bigger picture, is Miller and Gilbert and the pitchers they have turned themselves into. Gilbert is a Cy Young contender. That's what he's turned himself into. That's the kind of level he's pitching at. And Miller has taken the next step from where he was. From, and I think it was Scott talking about this, or maybe it was Jerry as well, like the five-inning can give you a pretty good start guy to, hey, man, he could go seven and mm-hmm. blank you.
Right.
That's a big step forward from 1 year to the next.
Especially when you have almost a rotation full of that.
Right. Right. It's really – I think this is really exciting moving forward because Castillo's going to lock it in. He pitched well last time.
Yeah, he did.
Kirby's going to lock it in. And if you get – it's hard for Gilbert and Miller to maintain at this high level,
sure.
right? But – if
but
they,
we've seen what the top of the mountain can look like
yeah,
for those guys.
And if they're close to this moving forward, watch out, man. This is – when we talk about how this rotation could be the best in baseball, this is how it becomes the best in baseball.
Yeah, I just I think there's so much credit to go around on this.
Yeah.
Obviously, the players have to be remarkably talented to begin with, but they clearly have the acumen for it. Like, mm-hmm. I'll be honest, when I see pitchers – adding a pitch, and then the next year adding a pitch, then the next year adding. Hey, man, like, let's just, like, I mean, not to get philosophical, so much in life is just the simple things are best.
Yeah.
Like, keep it simple, stupid. Do what you do best.
Do what you do, yeah.
But the combination of their intelligence and their physical ability, plus the organization's clear strength in helping to make a pitcher better, has proved to pay enormous dividends.
Yeah, and it's the want to, because I feel like Gilbert and Miller could have been fine
right, yes.
with the pitchers that they came up and been perfectly adequate.
Yes, above average major league starters.
Above average major league starters. But they both had the want to try and take this thing to the next level, right? And so they've retooled themselves in different ways.
We should be more like that.
I don't think so. I don't think we have.
Let's just keep it simple.
I don't think we have the want to.
Yeah, and speaking of that look from the other side, it was interesting to hear some of David Bell's comments, of course, Cincinnati Reds manager, about looking at this Mariners team from the other side.
You got to give their hitters credit. I think both nights, we played them two nights now, they've done a really good job of controlling the strike zone and making us throw the ball to the plate. Grinding out at bats, similar to what we do. So we know how to make it tough on opposing pitchers too. And I think the last couple of nights, that's what happened on the other side. So Hunter, main thing is he can't try to do too much now. You know, he's got to stay with what he's doing and continue to trust himself and keep making pitches. We have to continue to play hard, continue to run, take the extra bases. Big part of our game. When teams make plays like that, we can't let that stop us. So I think that whole play was about Rodriguez and a really special throw. I've watched them enough. We've scouted them enough to know this is a really good team. And, you know, nothing surprises me. We expect their very best, and there's a lot of good players over there. So, they did their job tonight for sure. You know, and like you said, we're patient, but we're also ready to hit. So, and that's what good hitters do, and that's who they have over there.
And to cap off what has been a great run for the rotation was Bryce Miller yesterday, who was just great against Cincinnati, and he is off to a delicious start for the Mariners. Four starts, 1.85 ERA to start, 24 innings, 24 strikeouts. It's really been great. Before I get to what has been, I think, a really exciting development for what we've seen from Bryce Miller, let's revisit some of our early conversation coming into the season with Bryce and what he was trying to accomplish, especially involving the splits.
It was pretty obvious. The splits between righties and lefties against me were huge. I believe last year righties hit like 199 or 200 against me, and lefties hit 299 or 300. So it was a 100-point swing. And kind of reflecting on my arsenal, like at the end of the season last year, I had five pitches that I was throwing to righties. And then when a lefty would come up, we kind of were down to just two, because we kind of got away from the sweeper against lefties. We got away from the changeup because I was dropping my slot, and I didn't throw the two-seam against him either because it doesn't really play as well. Then I'm down to a fastball on the gyro slider. And when I'm 70% heater, it's pretty easy guessing game there. So going into this offseason, like, my main focus was to find something to get lefties out, find something to be more effective against lefties so that they can't just load up seven lefties in a lineup and, you know, put me at a disadvantage. So I had seen the last year, like over the last year, the success that Logan and Kirby had with the splitter, and with where my changeup was, I felt like the splitter would be a good addition for me. It's always with how I throw, it's really hard for me to get inside and really pronate a changeup. Whereas the splitter, I'm able to just stay behind it and throw it like a heater. And it's something that I'm not going to have to drop my slot. I can throw it from the four seam fastball slot, and hopefully the bottom falls out and they swing over it.
I always love hearing Bryce Miller talk pitching, and I think he defined himself really well and defined his goals really well and what he's trying to do. I think we all can relate to what he was saying. And so along those lines, seeing, you know, four starts in, it's early, but seeing the results so far are really exciting when you look at the splits. So his righty splits are almost identical to last year. Last year, righties batted 200 against him. It's 205 this year, almost dead on. Last year, the on base was 234. This year, it's 244. Again, almost on the bullseye. Last year, the slug was 315. This year, it's 308. And those are all great numbers. He has feasted on righties, and that was his calling card last year because he struggled against lefties last year. But feasting on righties is really what made him so effective as a pitcher last year. And I thought coming in that if he could just take some of the slash away from the lefties, he could take a big step forward this year. Because keep in mind, lefties, you know, we talked about righties last year batted 200 against him. Lefties batted 303 against him. And you just heard Bryce reference that. And it was similar across the board. Last year, righties 234 on base. Lefties 358 on base. Lefties slugged nearly 250 points more than the righties did last year. So there's a big contrast between lefties and righties. Thus, what Bryce just talked about, the splitter and everything else, just having more weapons and additional arsenal to face lefties. So here is the contrast in splits so far this year. Again, lefties last year batted 303 against Bryce. This year, it's 109. 200-point difference, essentially. Last year, 358 on base. This year, 196. Last year, 558 slug. This year, 261. That is a massive difference. Now, again, it's four games. And keep in mind that we're to the point now where lefties are going to be familiar with what Bryce is trying to do to lefties and the attack against lefties. So I'm certain we'll see an adjustment back from lefties. But this is such a great sign for Bryce Miller and the Mariners early on. And to do it so quickly just from last year to this year, I think is just really exciting and bodes really well for the future. And he's just off to such a great start. And it's fun to really dive into. It's not a coincidence. It's not by accident. It is thought, detail, work, the whole thing between him and the Mariners coaching staff. So I think just a super exciting start for Bryce Miller. So speaking of that, why don't we hear from Scott Servais after the game yesterday? And, of course, he talked a lot about Bryce Miller, how good he was.
That looks like Mariner baseball, as we know it. So what can you say? Awesome pitching series for us. You know, we limit them to 5 runs in the entire series for a team that was smoking the ball coming into this series. I think they were averaging about 12 runs a game, and or 12 runs a series, and we just shut them down. So credit to our guys on the mound. Bryce Miller today, you know, he only gives up the one hit. They only get 2 base runners today with a home run and 1 other base runner. But he continues to learn. Today wasn't even probably his best stuff day. He was a little off early on. I think he felt better as the game went on. But credit to him and Cal. The guys out of the bullpen been outstanding. You know, and that's what it's going to take for us to get back where we need to be. I thought offensively today, you know, not a lot of early. They got a pretty good starter out there. The kid knows how to pitch. Abbott's tough. He's got 3 real good pitches. And, you know, our guys got a couple home runs, kept us going there, but it's about pitching. Our pitching gives us a chance every day, and really credit to those guys. But some good signs offensively. I thought Julio, really good day. You know, he's getting the rhythm back at the plate. You can see it. You know, he smokes a couple doubles today. Really happy for Garver. Get that first home run out of the way for a guy who has struggled early on. But really credit our players. Coming off a rough weekend, we had a few, you know, meetings here on Monday. The players really understand where they're at, and we got to get better. And they made some adjustments here in this series, and it paid off. So, you know, we get an off day and head out on a road trip to Colorado and over to our friends in Texas. So look forward to that. But we definitely needed to get it turned, and we had a really good series. So take any questions.
Scott, is this the formula, the script that you envision this team could be just grinding out at bats and obviously good solid pitching?
It really is. This is how we put the team together. I think, you know, understanding that, you know, we haven't had a lot of home runs early in the season. We got a few today, which makes a big difference. There's no question about that. But we are driven by our pitching staff and playing really good defense. And I think that's the thing that stood out for me here over the last probably week or so. We have played much cleaner baseball. I mean, starting, you know, Julio's game last night was phenomenal in center field. Urias, Rojas at third base have done a really nice job picking things up there. And it really helps out your pitching when you're making those plays. And we weren't doing that the first 10 days of the season. And now we are. And our starters are getting a little bit deeper in the game. And everything just kind of rolls for us because of it.
You mentioned Bryce being off early on. If that's the case, I mean, what does it say about where he's at right now to turn in another quality start?
Yeah, it's, you know, that type of start last year, you know, after he had 7 or 8 starts in the league, maybe it would have been tough with him. He just didn't have a whole lot of plan B to go to. But his ability to land off-speed pitches early in counts when he struggled to do that at times last year, he's just grown so much as a pitcher. And his ability to have a feel for where he's at in the game. You know, he was pulling some fastballs early. It wasn't the typical fastball command that we see out of him, but he's got other weapons to go to. And, you know, hats off to Cal Raleigh for recognizing that. You know, that's part of your job as a catcher. Like, what does he have going today, and how do we get him back into his sweet spot? And I thought Cal did a really good job with him today.
It seemed like once he did settle in, he was really able to work both sides of the plate to them. What did you see in that regard?
Well, he's got the 2 fastballs. You know, the addition of the 2-seam fastballs really helped him. You know, he's got the good life on the 4-seamer, and his secondary pitches have really grown as well. So he can navigate his way through really any type of lineup. You know, there was a lot of concerns, how do I get through the left-handed hitters? And he's very comfortable with the lefties up there right now. He's got plenty of weapons to go after them and get them out.
Also, another really fun aspect to that series against Cincinnati, the sweep against the Reds, we got our first look at Jonathan Class A.
The 1-2. Swinging a ground ball with some eyes through the left side for a base hit. Ty France scores from third. Jonathan Class A in his first big league game picks up his first major league hit, and he drives in a run.
It's 6-2 Mariners.
Hey, and we talked to Jerry Dipoto the day he was brought up to just give us a thumbnail on who Class A is and how he thinks he can help.
Electric tools. He's kind of a weirdly a bit of a three true outcomes player with a fourth spice, that is, he can steal bases by looking at them. You know, it's a he can fly. He's an 80 runner on the 80
scale. He's an 80 runner.
He's one of the fastest runners that has ever come through our organization, maybe the fastest. He's one of the fastest runners in professional baseball. His instincts have evolved over time. He signed as a very raw young 16-year-old and 17, I think, by the time he started. He missed a ton of time in the low minors with a lot of soft tissue injuries. And along the way, we taught him to switch hit, and that's become a thing for him to the point where it's pretty platoon neutral. He's got power from both sides of the plate. He has been a dynamic base stealer at the minor league level. He has grown increasingly more comfortable with the notion of running counts and taking his walk, and I think he's let's call it an average hitter with an above average process and real power.
We also caught up with Andy McKay, assistant general manager for the Mariners, who gave us some really good insight onto how Class A got here, and especially how much Franklin Gutierrez, former Mariner. Mariners have this group of alumni, Franklin Gutierrez, Alvin Davis, Dan Wilson, Edgar Martinez, Ichiro, Mike Cameron, this group, and a lot of them fan out to the minor leagues during the course of the season. And it was really interesting to get the insight from Andy on what that looks like, specifically with Class A and Franklin Gutierrez.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think more than anything, the things that really stand out to me with Class A, outside of the obvious things that everybody can see for themselves on the internet, the work ethic, what he's done to his body. And, he was one of those kids during COVID who, there's nowhere to go. The work that he put in to transform his body during that time when he really couldn't play, really stands out to me. But he's somebody with the tools that he brings in terms of the power and the speed, they weren't always skills. They were tools that had to be developed. And one of the things that I'm really proud of is the work that he's done with Franklin Gutierrez on the side. And they've developed a really good relationship. And if you remember, Jonathan's first time in big league camp did not go very, very well. And last year, Goody really took kind of ownership of Jonathan's summer, and the growth that you saw between Everett and Arkansas, but the amount of time that Goody spent with him is just something that I'm proud of, because I see, the programs and the systems working, and I see our alumni being involved, and that's happened with numerous, obviously Alvin and Dan and Edgar, but that transformation, and then by the end of last year, seeing the type of player that Jonathan had become was super exciting. And then he was able to carry it right into Major League spring training this year, and he's gotten off to a great start, in AAA. So we're thrilled for him. And anytime somebody makes their big league debut, there's a level of excitement there.
Was that a natural connection between Jonathan and Goody, or is that something that the organization said, Goody, here's a project?
No, honestly, it was something that I told Goody. I said, listen, you've walked in this guy's shoes, and he looks up to you, and I need you to put this on the top of your priority list. So, when you're organizing your travel and where you're going to go, spend most of it wherever he is. And those things are so invaluable, that our players can have those resources that they trust but aren't there every day. It kind of gives them a level of safety of someone who I can call. I don't maybe want to go to my coach every day. But when I have somebody who, this person knows what it's like to miss a fly ball in the lights and to be standing out there all alone. This player knows what it's like to get thrown out stealing when you were the winning run, you know, in the ninth inning. And this player knows what it's like to be kind of hurt, but not hurt enough not to play, but I still got to post. And so we try to create those those relationships for our players, knowing that, you know, players aren't going to call me and say, Andy, I'm really struggling right now. I wish they would, but that doesn't happen. So you try to be targeted with connecting everybody so that everybody has somebody like that that they can reach out to.
So Goody's impact on him spans all realms, mental, physical.
Absolutely. Everything from, you know, putting together at bats to dealing with adversity to dealing with success to getting a better jump, knowing when to dive, when not to dive, when to be aggressive throwing and when to choke it off and just flip it into the second base and keep the double play in order. And all of these things that are really hard for players to figure out. And you're just trying to, you know, there's a term, learning velocity. You're trying to speed it up so that they understand these things before they really need to know them.
He was a tiny guy way back when. Way back when.
Yeah, way back when.
And now he's jacked.
Yes. he's on the Class A beach workout. And, you know, and it is true, though, because when you go back to COVID and you follow him on social media and, you know, he's literally lifting anything he can find that's heavy and finding a way to lift it because, again, go back to that horrific time, you know, and you can't go anywhere. You can't go to the gym. You know, and you're a professional athlete and, okay, I can't play games. I can't go to the batting cage. What can I do? Well, I can just start lifting heavy things and creating these workouts and trying to transform my body. And he did it. And he did it on his own and couldn't be prouder of him.
All right. So the Mariners will head to Colorado to take on the Rockies. Rockies have struggled 4-15 so far this season. Worst starting rotation ERA in baseball. See if the Mariners can take advantage of that. Dakota Hudson, Emerson Hancock in game one from Denver. Saturday will feature a matchup, Luis Castillo. Kyle Freeland, who actually got hurt pinch running the other day, is non-pitching hand. He's off to a struggling start, an ERA over 13, but it looks like he'll be good to go for that start on Saturday. Then on Sunday, to wrap up the three-game series in Denver, the Mariners will send George Kirby to the hill. Cal Quantrill will take the ball for Colorado. So, see if the Mariners can take their second series in a row and then head on to Texas coming up after that. So a very interesting road trip after an off day between Colorado and Texas. So there we go. We'll see what happens this weekend. In the meantime, we'll talk to you on Mariners Pod on Monday.